Well, guys, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Let me ask for God's help again. Father, we pray that your Spirit would illuminate our mind, give us humble and teachable hearts. Lord, apply your word to our life. May we not be hearers of the word only, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 20, verse 29. I want to look at one verse tonight as a concluding encouragement on the year. Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. This past September, I turned 40 years old. That means as of today, I have lived 483 months, 2,093 weeks, and 14,709 days. Truthfully, I am not having a midlife crisis. I like my truck. I'm not going to get a convertible. I'm not going to throw away my wife. I love my wife and my kids. But over the last 12 months, just to be truthful with you, it has hit me a little harder than I anticipated. Because statistically, according to the CDC, though not inspired of God, but they collect data, the average life expectancy of a man is 75.8. The average, like John, you're still good. The average life expectancy of a woman, this is all in America, is 81.1. Okay? But according to Moses in Psalm 90, way before the CDC was a thing, Moses said something similar. Psalm 90, verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So here's a question for you tonight. How young are you? Or how old are you? If you calculated using AI or whatever you got, how old you are, your years, your months, your weeks, your days, what would those numbers look like for you? Here's two questions I want you to write down. Spend this week using it as a conversation piece. You want to use it at the dinner table during Christmas, I'll leave that up to you. Or you can use this as a reflection that I've been using in light of this verse. Two questions. What are you most enjoying about being the age you are today compared to 10 to 20 years ago? So for me, what am I enjoying about 40 compared to when I was 30 or 20? Okay, so for you, what are you enjoying about life now at your age compared to 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Just write those down, think about it, okay? Here's the second one. What are you tempted to envy about your life from 10 to 20 years ago? So now you're looking back. Here I am, I'm 40. What do I wish I could have back that I had at 30? Or I had it 20. What does that look like for you? So what do I most enjoy? What do I most envy? And if you are in my stage of life, let's just say on average, midlife and older, I just want to ask you a question. How are you processing the reality of getting older and towards the back nine of the golf course? Are you processing that? That could be a good conversation in your discipling groups, especially if you are 40 and older. Now, in light of these questions, I've been meditating on Proverbs 20:29, and as we consider the wisdom in this text, we're going to consider the wisdom it says about age, about the season of life we're in, and what we're supposed to do while we're in that season. And I want us to be encouraged, everyone in this room, in the exact season and age you're in right now. And here's the main point I want you to take away. Humbly embrace the stage of life you're in and thank God for its blessings. Humbly embrace, accept it, receive it. The season or stage of life you're currently in right now and thank God for its blessings. Now, why do I say that? Look at the proverb with me. The proverb gives you two stages of life. It's very black and white. You're young or old. That's all it says. Young men or old men. Or we can think about vice versa. Young women or older women. Think about Titus chapter 2. He uses older women and younger women. The proverb gives equal recognition that each stage or season of life has certain strengths and certain advantages with it that each woman or man gets to humbly embrace and thank God for it. So, for example, the young man, generally speaking, these are proverbs again, not promises, generally speaking, for young men, the glory of a young man, the honor of a young man, the beauty of a young man is that it typically comes with strength. The word can mean vigor, power, energy, the ability to do stuff, the ability to do what you want. Practically speaking, barring no injuries, handicaps, or genetic challenges, young men tend to have greater muscle mass, more testosterone, they sleep better and harder, and have more energy to exert in a given day. Now, anecdotally, in the bodybuilding world, for those of you who care to know this, most men have reached their peak of competing in natural bodybuilding. This is no steroids, no HGH, no of that mess. We're talking just natural natties, okay? People that are up there giving their life at their top shape. Most men peak out at 35 years old, and they're done. They will not compete again naturally. The best NFL players at the highest level of athletics for the NFL, the best of them, if they stay healthy, are done by their early 30s. That's why they call it the NFL, not for long. There's only a select few that make it to 40. T. Brady, but you saw what happened to him when he tried to come back at 45. It was just ugly. You know, Aaron Rodgers, there's plenty of them. You know, they're holding down the 40s, still doing their thing. But there's only a few. When you consider certain job trades, physical labor like construction, roofing, landscaping, plumbing, consider the military. What do the military look for in a Navy SEAL? They're not looking for 40-year-old Blake. They're looking for 18 to 30-year-olds. Why? Because they've got strength. They've got energy. They've got vigor. This is also why ordinarily, all the parents will appreciate this, having children when you're younger is much easier than when you are older. When you hit your 40s, 50s, and 60s, and you are tired by 1 o'clock, there's a reason why, ordinarily, having children younger works out better for you. Again, qualifying all the different exceptions out there. This is also why it's not uncommon when we all get older, we look back and we see kids playing on the playground and we say, oh, to be young again. Look at all that energy. Look at them playing, running, talking, screaming. And guess what? They do it again the next day and the next day and the next. They never run out of energy. Where do they get all that energy from? Well, the proverb here is calling those who are young to enjoy the energy while you have it. That's what it says. That's your glory. Young boys, that's your glory. That energy that you have right now that just seems to be 5 times the battery life of mom and dad, that's your glory, that's your honor, that's your beauty, the proverb says. So here's my admonition. Man, I wish I would have heard this from a preacher. Even though I probably would have ignored him, I don't really care. I will say it to you. While you're young, do not waste your strength on entertaining yourself to death. Do not use your youth to satisfy your lust. Do not use your youth sitting on the couch as a couch potato wanting handouts and looking for mom and dad and everyone to do something for you. Use that energy as early as you can. And I'm going to say this too. If God gets a hold of a young person early to be thinking about missions, you better start thinking about it early. Because I've talked to missionaries on the field. Those, the best of them out there, by the time they're hitting 40 and 45, they don't have the same vigor it took to be on the mission field when they were 22. There's a timetable. There's a window of time. So young people, anyone that's got vigor and energy, use it before you lose it. Because what? You can't reverse time. You can't reverse time. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 to 7. Many of you know this text. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars were darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. What is Ecclesiastes 12 saying? Go to your nearest retirement home and sit by the bedside of those who cannot get up, cannot feed themselves, and every day is hard. That's wisdom. Because youthfulness and youthful vigor will one day be gone from everyone in this room. That's not me preaching down to you. That's the word of God keeping us humble, right? Now that's the young people. Use your strength and use it well, because one day you're going to lose it. What about those who are older? What does the proverb have to say about the glory, the beauty, the majesty of an older man or an older woman when the physical vigor is no longer the top strength? Look again at the proverb. The glory of young men is their strength, but, there's the contrast, the splendor of old men is their gray hair. The word splendor here can mean majesty, glory, and nobility. It's often related to the appearance of an object that is beautiful and instills awe. This is also applied to the Proverbs 31 woman. The same Hebrew word is used, Proverbs 31, 25. Strength and dignity, or splendor, are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. Think about someone who has great wealth. You walk into their home and you're like, oh my goodness, look how nice their house is. The refrigerator, the living, the couch, the view. It's just breathtakingly gorgeous. Or think about a wonderful, beautiful sunrise on a skyline behind a large mountain range. It instills awe. It's inspiring. It's impressive, we say. Think about someone that you know, when they walk in the room and into your life, they both challenge you and inspire you. They are impressive. Well, that's what the proverb is getting at. The proverb here is not saying that gray hair is the mark of being impressive. In fact, we actually live in a culture that encourages you to dye your hair and downplay gray hair. I'm not going to make any judgments on people who color the hair. Do what you will. I have no Bible verse for you. But the proverb here is less concerned about the shade of gray or black or white on our heads. And it's more concerned, listen, with the wisdom that should come the older you are and the longer you walk with Christ. Seasoned life experience is priceless. God-fearing wisdom, the ability to apply God's word to every area of life, is priceless. Men and women who've had their faith tested through the fiery furnace of life, they've raised children, they've been through cancer, they've suffered persecution, they've dealt with debt, they've been ostracized by friends, and they've made it out on top in the end, standing firm in the faith. That is priceless. The Proverbs also say this, Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of life, or I'm sorry, crown of glory. How? It is gained in a righteous life. In other words, the longer you follow God, the older you get, your body declines, but the Spirit makes you more impressive and pleasing and beautiful in His sight. That's why the proverb also says in Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be greatly praised. Beauty is temporal, but the beauty from within is eternal. Or consider this verse. I know some of you are going to use this out of context for your advantage. Leviticus 19:32. You'll like this, Charlie. You'll like this, Roy. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Or think about Job 12, verse 12. Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. Now, I'm going to contextualize for a minute. I am not originally from Arkansas. I am a former beach bum jock, B average score. Noah, mute ears. Avery, you. I was a B student. But I've been here long enough that I can use this illustration, and I think it lands. I am not a hunter. Last time I checked, you can ask Alan. I think I scare the deer away. But years ago, a man and I were speaking about deer season. I was just intrigued more and more about why people enjoy deer season. And he said to me, Blake, there's a small window of time you get to hunt, which is during mating season, also known as the rut. He was telling me that the young bucks typically are running around out in the open because of mating season, but they aren't the brightest bucks in the world. They are thinking about that doe. But they aren't thinking very carefully about the shotgun 100 miles from them whose barrel is about to aim right at their head. Lots of energy, lots of ambition, but no real perspective or peripheral vision. They are tunnel vision. And guess what happens to those young bucks every year? They get dropped dead. The bigger bucks, the seasoned bucks, they've survived several hunting seasons, maybe many. They don't tend to run out in the open. They've seen their cousins and brothers go down quickly. They are more measured in their decisions. They're not going to run out there until they have calculated the risk to know whether or not they should do that. Now, I think there's a valuable lesson here. I hope the illustration's helpful for the hunters. If I've really botched this, come talk to me afterwards. There is a good lesson here about youthfulness and maturity. Youthfulness can tend to have more energy, more zeal, more ambition, and more drive, but youthfulness can also lack foresight, lack perspective, and lack patience. Think in the book of Titus. I've always found this so interesting. When Paul is instructing Titus how to cultivate this robust discipling church, he says this, Titus 2:2, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. That's the older bucks, right? Older women are likewise to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Verse 6, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. How many times did you hear one word used? Self-control, self-control, self-control. 3 times. Why is that? Because the younger we are, the more we lack self-control with our words, our spending habits, how we spend our time, how we discipline our bodies. And so we need self-control. Youthfulness tends to bring with it a lack of it. The more mature we tend to grow, we'll often have less energy, less drive, and less ambition. But if we walk with the Lord and fear the Lord, we will have better abilities to weigh out our options more carefully, make decisions more slowly, and tend to have a better perspective on time. So if you are taking notes, here's my simple applications to us. The younger you are, and I'm going to let you fill in the age on that one. Just the younger you are. Give out in service to others while you still have the strength to do so. Give out in service to others while you still have the strength to do so. Okay? There's the younger. The older, you fill it in for yourself what that will look like. I feel like I'm a seesaw, personally. I'm kind of in the middle. The older you are, give back by mentoring and developing others with the wisdom you've gained. Give back by mentoring and developing others with the wisdom you've gained. Do you see the words there? Give out, give back. What's the common word used for both? Give. Why? It is more blessed to give than receive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten Son. Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve. What is that? To give my life as a ransom for many. You want to look impressive, young men, impressive, young women? Give your life for him and give your life for your family and your church and lay it all down on the line. If you've got the energy to live and get up at 5 a.m. and stay up till 11, then do it while you still can, because there's coming a day you can't. You won't. God has put a time ticker on our bodies and our minds, and that energy and that strength will go away one day. And if you are older, do not think that means sit back and watch. There is a sin that actually older people deal with. It's not called out, but I want to say it respectfully. It's checking out too early. We're called to finish the race, not watch other people run it. You may not be able to run it as fast and as hard as you used to. You may not be able to exert and give like you used to, but give back mentoring, encouragement, and support, the wisdom you've gained. How can we better enjoy the stage of life we're in right now than fear it or wish for another one? Tim Keller said, make this your prayer. Lord, I praise you for the promise of the resurrection, that the long experience and wisdom for our older years will be combined with the creativity, grace, and stamina of our younger ones, together with the glory and beauty we have never known. Until then, help us wait in patient, joyful hope. Amen. What is that prayer about? It's keeping it all in check. The youthful strength and the mature wisdom will one day be combined. There's coming a day with resurrected bodies in a perfect place where we will not get older, we will not get tired, we will not get sick or die. That is the hope we have laid up for us in heaven. A gentleman by the name of Theodore Adams, I'm not entirely sure who this person is. I read this in a very old book a number of years ago. And for those of you who are older, I thought I would read this for you because I just think it's especially encouraging. It's called The Golden Years. Here's what he said. It is important to keep your mind alert and growing. Old age is not nearly as much a matter of hardening of the arteries as it is the hardening of ideas. Keep your mind alert and keep learning. As a matter of fact, you can learn many things much better when you were older if you just keep your mind open and working. One of the best guarantees of happiness and respect in old age is to make memory your servant and not your master. Do not make the mistake of always living in the past and saying, well, now, this is the way we did it when I was a boy. Live for the future as well as for the past. Make memory serve you, and patiently and humbly teach the lessons of the past to those who are facing the problems of today. One of the signs of maturity in youth is being willing to listen and to profit from the experience of others without having to go through some of the same harrowing events personally. Be sure to act your age. That's a good word. Be yourself and be proud of it. It is foolish to pretend you are younger. Be proud of the lines that nature carves in your features. You might as well, because those lines are going to come anyway. As you grow older, be a part of something greater than yourself. Many today are retired from business when they still have much to give. And there are others whose family duties have lessened. Through the church and other agencies in the community, they find many places open to those who want to continue to be active and useful in life. Just to prove what age can do, think of Michelangelo. Our family once climbed up inside the dome of the great cathedral he built in Florence, Italy. To give added strength, he really constructed two domes, one inside the other, and visitors climb up between the two for a magnificent view of the top. When Michelangelo had finished that task, he thought it was his crowning masterpiece, but he went on at 80 years old to build St. Peter's in Rome. Yes, there are wonderful things that age can do. You may not build a great cathedral, but you can build yourself into the lives of your children and of others who need you and find increasing joy through the years and new ways of growing and serving. Church family, we are not all the same age in the same season of life. Praise be to God. We've prayed for diversity, and He's bringing it. And He's bringing it all over the place. In 2025, we had 19 people join this local church. 19. And I could come with ages, but they're all over the place. Ages, stages of life, season of life. 19 new people into this congregation. What if the Lord doubled that in 2026? We had 4 more men do the pastoral internship here in this congregation. We've had 4, it's starting to get them into 6 new babies brought into the life of our church. I could go on and on and on. What do we do with this verse tonight? Humbly embrace the season of life you're in right now. Don't envy a season of life from the past you cannot get back. Don't try to fast forward your life. That will only lead to regrets later. God gives us grace one day at a time. He doesn't give us tomorrow's mercies for today's troubles. To those of us who are younger, we should be constantly, right now, taking initiative to spend and be spent for our families and our church while we still have the strength. To those of us who are older, especially if you're starting to feel feeble, forgetful, and weak, do not think that you're a burden to this church. John Stott says this, if you're tempted to think, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. John Stott once said, I sometimes hear old people, including children, Christian people who should know better, say, I don't want to be a burden to anyone else. I'm happy to carry on living so as long as I can look after myself. But as soon as I become a burden, I would rather die. But this is wrong. We are all designed to be a burden to others. You were designed to be a burden to me, and I'm designed to be a burden to you. And the life of the family, including the life of the local church family, should be one of mutual burdensomeness. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Brothers and sisters, knowing Jesus Christ and serving Him and His church is far greater than being physically strong and living a self-indulgent life. Becoming more like Jesus Christ is of greater importance than being intellectually sharp or having a big platform. Regardless if you're young, midlife, older, what should be our boast? Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In a little while, the season of life you and I are in right now will be a long time ago. So give back. Give out all that God has graciously given to you. Let's pray. Father, the glory of young men and women is their strength and vigor and their ability to do many things, but the splendor and majesty and impressiveness of old men and old women, those who've walked a righteous life, those who have gained wisdom from you, Lord, is a fountain of blessing to those who are coming behind them. Lord, we pray our church would embrace any season or stage of life we are currently in, because in a little while, it will be a long time ago. And Father, we pray that we wouldn't envy a season or stage of life we can't get back, or a season or stage of life, or a strength or stamina that maybe someone else has. Lord, we're called to give thanks for the blessings you've given to us today. Lord, may we be a church that uses that strength, that uses that wisdom to give, because you have been so graciously to be given much to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.